From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns with you once again to continue to Let the Bible Speak from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, on the subject, Jesus Christ, man's only point of contact with God. The subject runs contrary to much of the thinking of the day in which we live. Even leading figures in the religious world, like Dr. Billy Graham, have told us that people who have never even heard the name of Jesus Christ can still get to heaven. So, according to him, Jesus Christ is not the only point of contact, but according to God's Word, He is. So stay with us as we look together a little further into the Word of God. And don't forget that we are welcoming this week our brother Charles Kelch to help here in the broadcasting of Let the Bible Speak. Charlie will be our anchor man and also engineering the broadcast from day to day. So we're glad of his help, and I know you will enjoy his input into the broadcast. We start with our hot topic for today, religion and politics. A recent headline in the secular press screamed, "Religion and politics grow inseparable." The report read in part, "It seems that all the leading presidential candidates are discussing their religious and moral beliefs, even when they'd rather not. Democratic senators Hillary Rodham Clinton and Barack Obama have hired strategists to focus on reaching religious voters. Obama's campaign holds a weekly conference call with key supporters in early primary and caucus states. Their role is to spread the candidate's message to religious leaders and opinion makers and report their concerns to the campaign." Close the quote. If all of this meant that candidates for political office had a genuine desire to conform their policies to the moral absolutes of God's law and gospel, it would be good news. However, we know that the same politicians hire strategists to liaise with homosexual groups, pro-abortion groups, and just about any other constituency that may yield votes for them. It's difficult to take seriously any apparent attempt to reach out to Bible believers when the candidates blatantly espouse positions that are in fundamental opposition to the moral absolutes of Scripture. Whatever a candidate's party label, or however attractive his or her approach may be, each one should be judged on where he or she stands on the things that, to Bible believers, are non-negotiable. Now, it's not my intention to get into election strategies, at least not today. What interested me was the assertion that religion and politics were growing inseparable. That is, unfortunately, true in all too many cases, and it's to the detriment of God's work. I'm all in favor of good men and women becoming involved in public life, so long as they carry their biblical convictions with them and never let political considerations corrupt their faithfulness to Christ. But the church, as distinct from individual believers, should not become involved in secular politics. It may issue warnings and advice to politicians or protest their actions on matters which Scripture addresses, but it is disastrous when religion and politics coalesce. Many issues that politicians face are not directly addressed by the law of God. Their duty is to stay within the bounds set by the moral absolutes of Scripture and then use their wisest judgment. Good men may differ on the wisdom or otherwise of such decisions, but they must see their difference of opinion for what it is, a difference of political judgment on an issue not directly covered by any moral absolute of Scripture. What they must not do is to elevate a difference in political judgment to the level of a biblical and spiritual dispute. This would be to confound religion and politics, which is an evil to be avoided, for it leads Christians to present their own political opinion or prejudice as God's immutable and absolute truth. That is so dangerous as to be almost blasphemous. Listening to Let the Bible Speak, which comes to you from Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We're glad that you've taken the time to be with us today, and we trust that the Lord is blessing the program to your heart. Every so often I draw to your attention the fact that we produce here at Let the Bible Speak a quarterly magazine in full color that seeks to continue the theme of the broadcast and let the Bible speak on things that are important to the people of God. We leave it to others to fiddle around with things that really don't matter very much, and we want to instruct and edify and help God's people on issues of real importance from the Scriptures. Our latest Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is available, and it deals with the subject of the doctrines of grace. Some people call these Calvinism. The doctrines of grace, those doctrines which seek to elevate and glorify the grace of God revealed in the everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that you'll take the opportunity to have your free copy of the magazine sent. Send us your request and we'll be glad to add you to our mailing list, and we'll send you the magazine each time it comes out. You'll find it a blessing. There is no charge, and I can assure you, as always, that when you give us your mailing address, we don't pass it on to anybody else, nor do we ever use it for follow-up, giving one begging letter after another. We never do that. We don't beg. We are happy to provide the magazine to you as a ministry that we trust will be a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to receive your copy of the Let the Bible Speak quarterly, you can write to us here at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you prefer, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS, 866-877-5827. So these are the ways you can get in touch. We'll be happy to let you have Let the Bible Speak quarterly, and I know it will be instructive, edifying, and a blessing to your heart.
If we could see beyond today as God can see,
forget the wonderful truth that's here, down to the smallest detail. The Lord looks after His people. He knows you. He knows your circumstances. He knows your feelings. He knows your needs. He knows your challenges. He knows your fears. He knows your weakness. He knows you. The psalmist said, though the Lord be high, yet hath He respect unto the needy. The Lord is high, but yet He thinks on me. I think of that. And when you realize that your Father values you, then the things that appear to be happening to your detriment are actually not for your detriment at all. Jacob said, all these things are against me. And I couldn't blame Jacob for saying that. He had lost everything that he counted valuable. He was facing death by starvation. He says, everything's against me. And yet, when he said that, things were never more for him than they had ever been before. They were wonderfully working out. He just couldn't see it. Your Father values you. Do a lot of us a whole lot of good to keep that in mind. Because if I know the devil, and I believe me, I know him only too well. I wish he and I were not on very good, I don't mean good terms, but on terms of knowing each other so often. But if I know the devil, he's mighty good at putting you down. For every Christian that's an arrogant, foolish upstart, I meet 100 who are despondent. and down and hopeless. And I have no value. And I'm no use. Now, every one of us will think that sooner or later. My wife used to fear Mondays. I don't think she particularly likes them yet. Monday was the preacher's blue day, black day. I've often said it was the providence of God that stopped me pursuing particular goals that I had, for if I had ever fulfilled them, I probably would have resigned on one of those black Mondays when the devil would come, and he didn't even have to tell a lie to tell it, but man, he enjoyed telling it. How utterly futile. How utterly useless. How do you ever dare to call yourself a preacher? Give it all up. You're useless and this and that and the other thing. My, how we need to get alone with God and realize our Father values us. God didn't need to save me, but he did it for his glory. And God didn't need to call me to preach. He could have called people to preach far better. I've often wondered at that. There were three or four of us young fellows ran around together. One sort of fell by the wayside, and don't know where he is today spiritually. Not in a good place. But the other one had the gifts, the best potential for a preacher I think I've ever seen in a young man. Certainly would have been a million miles ahead of where I was. The other young fella had the brains, and still has the brains, of a theologian, a student, an academic. Yet God didn't call them to be ministers of the gospel, though they are both active and prominent in their churches. God didn't need to call me, but he did it. And I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That he calls the weak and the despised. And the nobodies and the nothings. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence, and that he should have all the honor and all the praise and all the glory. But when God saves you and God appoints you and sends you and calls you, remember, God values you. And he'll never change from that. So, in the midst of this opposition, stay true to the gospel. Put Christ first. Verse 37 through 39 will tell you, even before your family. This is one of the hardest things. Sometimes in order to be faithful to Christ, you'll find your family will forsake you. Your children will rebel against it. Sometime your spouse will rebel against it. Your parents will rebel against it. The family will be divided. We should certainly labor for a family unity, but let it be a unity that is based on the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the Lord Jesus says, no matter what the cost, you love him before father or mother. Because if you love father or mother more than him, you are not worthy of him. If you love your son or your daughter before Christ, you are not worthy of Christ. And that's why he says, "He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Did you notice the quotation from Tozer that Mr. Braham put in the back of our bulletin this morning? Mark it. Learn it. And take up the cross. Tozer said, "If I see aright, the cross of popular evangelicalism is not the cross of the New Testament. It is rather a new bright ornament upon the bosom of a self-assured and carnal Christianity. The old cross slew men. The new cross entertains them. The old cross condemned. The new cross amuses. The old cross destroyed confidence in the flesh. The new cross encourages it." It's about as much as the modern church knows of the cross as a little gold pin, or some lighted symbol above a pulpit, or some symbol outside a church. It's as much as they know about the cross. When Jesus talked about taking up the cross, he's saying, "I am the divider of men. You will find family and friends to repudiate you. You will find your own nation making you an enemy within the camp. You will find the time coming when life itself is in jeopardy. But put Christ first." That's the cross. That's the cross. And it's because of the truth that the world so hates. Christ, the only way of communication between God and men. Now, I have to go through this passage, and I have five of these connections between this truth and the events and sayings. I'm going to finish with the first one this morning. Otherwise, you'll be here for your Christmas dinner if I were to go through all five. I want you to take on board what I've said. Christ is here this morning. He is the only way from man to God and from God to man. There is no other. You're either for him or you're against him. He's running right through this meeting as the great divider. Some of you will embrace totally, joyfully, all that I've said today and say, "I am on the Lord's side. I will serve the King. I don't care what opposition comes. I don't care who receives me or who rejects me. I'm on his side." But others of you, even admitting the theoretical truth of what I say, yet you want to walk the world's side. If you're not for him, you're against him. I wonder this morning where you stand. Are you saved? Are you for Christ? Are you one of the sheep, or are you one of the wolves? Ah, perhaps even in sheep's clothing. What are you in relation to Christ? As we see as we go through this passage, the will of the Lord, there's good news for sinners. For Jesus is the friend of sinners. And Jesus is the Savior of sinners. And he is that ladder set up on the earth whose top reaches to heaven. God does speak to men through Christ. And men can go to God through him. If you're willing to have Christ today on his terms, you can go to God. May God bless the simple but central truth of the sole mediation of Jesus Christ to all our hearts. and bring you, every last one, to the place where you not only see it, but you embrace it. And in embracing it, you take your stand as one of His sheep. Take up the cross, no matter what the cost. And as I've said, say, yes, I am for Him, no matter who may be against Him.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.